Israel has defended its strikes on a United Nations school building in Gaza yesterday, claiming their target was Hamas militants there. But the school was sheltering thousands of displaced Palestinians. The victims included many women and children. And the UN Secretary General called it another horrific example of the price civilians are paying. Dan Williams, the Reuters correspondent in Jerusalem, joins us now. And once again, Dan, international condemnation of this strike on a school where thousands were sheltering, but the IDF defending its actions.
Indeed, and the last report that I'm aware of from the IDF was that they had confirmed the identities of what they said were nine Hamas or Islamic Jihad operatives among the 20 or 30 that they said were originally targeted in three rooms of that school complex.
And one of the questions that has emerged is, where did the weapon that was used in this attack come from? Was it supplied by the United States?
I'm aware of so far unverified video suggesting that it might have been a US manufactured GBU-39. That is a relatively small precision bomb. However, I've seen other footage suggesting that it might have been manufactured in India. Israel also has its own manufacturing lines of such weaponry used by the Air Force. So at the moment, I don't think there's any great clarity, and I doubt the Israelis, especially in the middle of a war, would necessarily publish the kind of ordnance they're using.
And why is Israel now back carrying out operations in central Gaza?
Well, it wasn't just central Gaza. In recent weeks, we've also seen operations in northern Gaza, areas where Israel wound down major operations back in January. However, it's worth noting that at the outset of the war, even before the invasion began, Israeli officials were saying publicly that their plan was for a three-month major operation, meaning concluding in December, then a winding down and a withdrawal of some forces, and what they described as mopping up operations against attempts by Hamas, by Islamic Jihad, to regroup. Basically, they're saying that this is part of a long-term plan. They said from the outset this war would last months. Now it appears to have shifted into more of a counterinsurgency campaign. And Reuters reported only yesterday that U.S. officials corroborate that something in the order of 9,000 to 12,000 Hamas fighters have been killed, so they're down to about half their strength. And we heard from the Israeli side that this is what would happen. They would basically reduce Hamas from an army to more of a guerrilla force and go in and out of various areas of Gaza as they deem it required in order to prevent a resurgence and ensure a long-term erosion of Hamas force strength.
And while the carnage and the civilian casualties continue, what progress, if any, is being made on ceasefire talks?
Ceasefire talks we had, and we reported 2 days ago that Hamas, the leader of Hamas, actually responded what sounded like a rebuttal or a refusal of the latest Israeli offer that was really published by President Biden. However, it's worth noting that Hamas didn't say anything new. Its constant position has been that any ceasefire must be part of a wider deal guaranteeing the end of the Israeli war, a full withdrawal of Israeli forces, basically a conclusion of this round of fighting between the two that would leave Hamas intact in some form, in control of the Gaza Strip, and presumably eventually in control of reconstruction funding. So basically Hamas wants this to be yet another of several rounds of fighting that we've seen in Gaza with Israel, but Israel wants this to be a game changer. It says October 7th, the Hamas attack, which triggered this war, the Hamas attack on southern Israel, was a game changer, and Israel says it will not allow Hamas the capabilities of doing it again, and that Hamas must be destroyed. Now, when asked what destroyed means, the Israelis say the military capabilities, the governance capabilities, removed, effectively a toppling and a disarming or a decommissioning of Hamas. It's very hard to know how to reconcile those two positions because there are mediators trying to get them to agree on a plan that would effectively eliminate one side of the agreement, and the other side will not accept anything less. It's hard to see how those two can be reconciled.
And in the meantime, Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu has been invited to address the US Congress in July.
Indeed, and the number is now, but the date has been published. It's July 24th. This appears to have been a bipartisan invitation, both sides of the aisle in Congress, and Netanyahu would become, according to his office, the only foreign leader to have addressed Congress four times. I believe that when he held the record at three, he shared it with Winston Churchill. So now he can claim to have outdone Churchill, at least in that regard. And I think it's worth, it's probably safe to bet that he will also try to be Churchillian in his speech there. It will be a different speech potentially to the one he gave in 2015 when he was arguing against the nuclear deal with Iran. We're now 9 years down the line. Iran is closer to nuclear capacity, should it choose to have it. And Netanyahu will also be under pressure to explain where things stand in this ongoing war, which doesn't appear anywhere close to concluding and will actually soon be Israel's longest war in history.
Dan Williams, Reuters correspondent in Jerusalem, thank you.